Okay, good evening, everyone. We're going to begin. Can I have the roll call, please?
Birch.
Present.
Kepler.
Here.
Ormsby.
Here.
Peters. Rafferty.
Here.
Stoltenberg.
Here.
Wendland.
Here. Okay. We had approval from the minutes of the last meeting, please.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of November 15, 2017. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So good evening and welcome, everyone. There's quite a few folks in the crowd tonight, so I'm anticipating some input. At the appropriate time, I will offer you the opportunity to go to the podium to my right and to your left and state your name and present your information for us relative to the particular case. So with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, the first grouping of cases involves a land use amendment rezoning and also a replatting of the parcel as shown here at the crossroads of Crow Creek and Middle Roads right there. The area currently is zone C1 local shopping district. The petitioner is asking for the bottom two-thirds of this roughly for a land use amendment and a rezoning, the land use amendment going from urban low intensity, which permits C1, to urban medium intensity, which permits an R4 multifamily residence district designation. Purple line here on the site plan roughly shows you how the lot line lays out, with this being the commercial building that would be retained potentially, because the site plan as this is shown right now is what is in effect when you have these other areas here that were intended for some type of commercial use. This is the current final plat, and the one thing staff wants to emphasize is we want to define what this is right here, what is in this easement. That is one of the conditions listed in the report, because we want to make sure that if there's nothing in there, that the easement is shown as being vacated on the other plat. And we're still not certain if there's anything within that easement. This is the site as it's laid out as you're looking toward Middle Road down Crow Creek Road. And this is looking from Wyndham Drive out this direction, and then back here, of course, is Middle Road again. This is the plat that is proposed at present for replatting lot one to remain C1, this lot to become R4. And staff again would want that easement area defined in some manner, either as being vacated or a locate of what is exactly within that easement. We also may want to make sure that there is a restriction that there is no access again, that that's a carryover from the past plats from lot one to Crow Creek Road and also the middle. This is a chart indicating our new land use designation and the equalization table, if you want to call it that, of what can go into a UMI district. Urban medium intensity can have the R4 designation for zoning, and that's what's being requested by the petitioner tonight. Under the current use, ULI land use, the C1 is permitted, and at most duplexes would be permitted in an R3 designation for single and two family residence district. These are the fourplexes as the proposed right here. This is the commercial building that I believe was sent along by the petitioner to show what that represented. And the concept layout is this. Here's the commercial. And this is the means of entry, a shared means on the concept plan for commercial, and then for these structures right here, the fourplexes, essentially. In the what would be anticipated for the R4, and I believe these are going to be rented. Staff in looking at this would indicate that the Planning and Zoning Commission look at the way that typical land uses lay out along what are two major types of streets, this case being an arterial and this being at least a collector, and in the nature of that, that typically we see more in the way of commercial in these areas than we do of a type of use here where we have multifamily. Typically, we just tend to see more commercial, and that was true under the last land use plan. That's something that's anticipated under the land use plan as you see it now. And also, we want to make sure that in considering the three motions, that the condition of the recreational trail, that has already been addressed through here in past platting. But staff is not making a recommendation for or against on this. We would want, though, that the consideration of past development be brought to the fore here in considering any type of land use amendment or rezoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thank you, Greg. Questions from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question about the easement, Greg. Is that something that you think we need to address this evening, or just something that you're making a note of that you want to be sure is addressed?
We want to make sure that this is addressed somehow, because we're getting conflicting stories. Some people on staff think there may be something in there that could be either a sanitary sewer easement or not, but the other consideration is on the site plan that this easement has been shown, and that as a means of connecting to that easement, there might be use for the commercial and maybe connect into it if this is in fact being used as a stormwater easement for this area. How is the water going to be conveyed off-site, because you have a declining elevation as you go further south. The other issue is if it's going to be used for sanitary sewer. Again, you have the commercial building here that would need that access to go through this site to connect down here further. So that's our concern is if it's going to be what is it, how does it impact anything that goes on in this lot, is really what it boils down to.
And so my question is that something that you need for us to,
I mean, we put it in as a condition in the report, okay. Yes, I mean, it's something that is worthy of the discussion of the P&Z, and we may put it in as a condition, but again, it's something that you can put in your motion as well.
Okay.
Other questions from the commission? Greg, on the 10-foot bike path along Crow Creek, I wasn't clear if that's been handled or not been handled.
I don't know that on Crow Creek it has. I know a middle, we took care of that issue.
You marked it on middle, but I heard talk about Crow Creek, so.
We had discussion at staff level today, paying no attention to that comment.
Okay. And then I also want to reflect for the record that we had a couple of emails come in from citizens regarding this case, and I'll just make reference to those now. One was forwarded from the alderman. I spoke with you in October regarding the request by Advanced Homes to rezone, and sorry, this is from Liz Cox. I don't know if I've got an address on her. Advanced Homes to rezone the property at Crow Creek Road and Middle Road. When Advanced Homes built our homes, we were told it was a commercial lot and would be something similar to a medical office, a bank, something with daytime hours only. Now we are learning they have requested it be rezoned to medium density, meaning longer hours, perhaps restaurants, a bar, retail, etc. They're also asking the low density be rezoned to multifamily and plan to build rental properties. My husband and I do not believe rental properties or medium density commercial belong in our residential neighborhood. If Advanced Homes had said they were going to build condos in this area, I believe the neighborhood would be more receptive. As we are unable to attend this meeting, I ask that you let the members of the Plan and Zone Committee be advised of our strong feelings against the zoning. Thank you, Liz and Chris Cox. Then we had one other. Let me see. That was from Mr. Van Horst. Per our discussion this morning, I'm emailing an issue that has been going on for years without answers, and I believe this has been already dealt with by council in a conversation with Mr. Ben Horst. But I don't know if he's here tonight or not. He's here, so don't speak now. We'll give you the opportunity a little bit. I won't read that one if you're here to speak to us. And then I have one more. This is from Carol Likely. Please forward this message to the alderman who will be holding this matter in their hands. I believe that's the P&Z. I do not have every name. That's it. Okay. Please vote against rezoning Windham Hills Development on the corner of Crow Creek and Middle Road. Please vote to keep low-intensity zoning, not medium intensity. Traffic is already an issue at that new intersection. Please keep the neighborhood a neighborhood and not something that is a mix of just fill in the space. There are plenty of places for multifamily rentals and commercial development in this town. This should be a more planned community, and you need to take control of the outcome for the future. Make the city look like there is a plan and not infringe on the residential, because we do pay taxes for our share of living in this quality community. Carol Likely, Richmond Circle. So those were the additional inputs that came in electronically. I believe I've captured them all relative to this case. So let me see.
And Mr. Chairman, I would just comment that this parcel of land has come before us before, not that long ago, and the decisions that we made at that time were to include restaurants, would include that type of usage. So what we're looking at tonight isn't changing that usage that was decided earlier.
That's actually, that's probably a good point, and that's actually going down. So, and that's relative to one of the comments, and I guess just for clarification and my understanding, it does appear that originally, and Greg, you've got the site plan up, there was our screens keep going blank here periodically.
Up here it
okay, it stays, yeah. It looks like about 30,000 square feet of commercial was previously approved on this site. Was it, Greg?
I don't know if that's the ultimate size. I mean, I think this is about 7,000 some square feet here, and the buildings are similar in nature. This is 7,000 something. So is
like
that, and I'm not looking up at the screen now, so I'm sort of grasping at straws in that regard.
30,000 is
pretty close.
It could be
pretty
close, yeah.
Okay, so, and I think that's important to note relative to the comment that came in that from a density standpoint, it's actually a lower volume use, although it's a higher zoning classification for medium intensity. The actual result of this proposed site plan appears to be less intense than what was previously approved.
Mr. Chairman, if I might?
Yeah.
One of the issues that I have is right now we're dealing with land use amendment and rezoning. And it is going to a more intense use.
That's correct.
So if for whatever reason, and we've had a commercial, there was a change, some of the plans have changed, and now they're going to something. If this falls through, we are left with a more intense zoning on that corner.
Yep.
So I think we have to look at it from the standpoint of what could be there, not what's being proposed.
Yeah, good point.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
One thing that the Planning and Zoning Commission could do if you decide that you want to approve the land use and rezoning tonight is condition it upon the concept plan that is presented.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if that concept plan is altered or changed or goes away, then so does the land use and zoning change.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? I had a few myself.
What is the reason for the change?
It cannot put the multifamily under the ULI land use. If they want to change from C1 and go to R4, they have to go and use this. There's no multifamily housing permitted under that ULI land use. The highest intensity you can go in that district is R3, which would allow only duplexes. These are four units that are attached as townhouses.
No, I'm maybe my question wasn't clear. The reason for the change from the original plan that the developer provided a few months ago when they were here, I mean, this was, as I understood it, all lot one and two were all going to be commercial, and now we've got one lot that's going to be
you have to ask
commercial
the developer
for
the developer.
Now a residential. So I don't understand. Obviously, something changed, but and I want to know what changed.
That would be the developer's privy to, I mean, basically his background to answer that, not ours.
So we need him to sign in now.
My name's Adam Seitz. I'm with Advanced Homes. And the reason for the change from the 30,000 square foot of commercial to the 21 rental units is there was a lack of tenants that were interested in that space at the time, as well as it just wasn't economically feasible to do that at that time. The numbers that came back from bidding just did not support the rental rates that were going to come in on that, and the tenant base was not there to put up a complex or a space that would have had a bunch of vacancies in it.
Okay, so it was a lack of commercial tenants.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions on that, Jeff?
I would like to add on to that note what Jeff said, that in this area, there isn't any other multifamily homes. And it's zoned the way it is for a reason, so that we don't end up with spotty zoning. And I don't think it would be very good planning on our part to put rental properties in the middle of several, I mean, all around this entire area in the neighborhood are single family dwellings.
I'd also like to remind the commission that there was just less than a couple weeks past 69 townhouses to go catty corner directly across the street from this location as well. That was just passed through your guys' commission. They're rentals. Rentals.
Greg, can you show on the map where those are?
Right there.
No more than 300 yards from the location.
I would say, I'm not taking the other side, but I'm looking, you know, from a different perspective. When this was discussed, excuse me, previously, some of the objections we heard from the neighbors about the commercial was commercial butted right up against residential. And so sometimes we look at multifamily as a buffer between commercial and single family. So, you know, that's a different way to look at the same thing. And there is more rental property going into that area.
I can see what you're saying. And Adam, to you, I would say that the other proposed that we passed did not have single family homes in its backyard, so they don't butt up to each other when it's across the street with, you know, more open properties that could neighbor similar housing.
But the approved plat for the Woodlands does back up directly to it.
So. Mr. Chairman, if I might,
yeah,
a couple things that I see is that we're comparing a new development to an existing development. These people have homes there, been there for a while. Things have developed, and they expected something to be developed on that corner, and now it's being changed, as opposed to a new site that's going in at the same time as the other homes. So it's not the same comparison. The other thing is, I'm a little bit concerned about the rental aspect, not so much the residential aspect, but the rental aspect, and what the impact of having rental properties that close to owned homes, what that does to their property value. I'm afraid that, you know, from my own standpoint, one of the reasons I moved from an area was because it was near an apartment area. I didn't want the influx of new people all the time. And so I'm concerned about what this would do to the neighborhood out there having rental property.
I'd just like to be clear about the product line of what we're looking to roll out in that neighborhood. They are fourplexes, ranch style, no steps, all have garages, so they were going to blend in completely with what the neighborhood is already there. And we're going to market this towards an active senior community for 55 plus is what we're looking for. So, you know, just to give you what the tenant base of what we're looking for, you know, that's kind of the demographic of what we're looking for. So it would be a good transition of what's already in the neighborhood to the commercial space.
We can't guarantee
I would be more amenable if this was being, if they were being owned units rather than rental units. That's, the other thing is, looking at your concept, I don't feel there's enough buffering, because you have a high intensity use right across the street from people that are, have, you know, single family homes. It doesn't appear to me that you've got enough buffering between this use and the adjacent area.
Well, those are all things that we can work on with berms and, you know, fencing and things of that nature. But, you know, the transition was from, the transition was from the residential to the commercial with the multifamily. That was the idea of the buffer.
I understand. Which is typically what we would do.
Correct.
But what, where you're throwing the monkey wrench in here, in my opinion, is the rental property.
And that's, we were trying to avoid the situation like what's at 18th and 53rd, you know, trying to create a buffer there, because we do have the zoning to go ahead and put in the 30,000 square feet of commercial that has already been, all these, you know, issues have been spoken about, you know, when they were concerned about buffers and things like that. And that's what this kind of was also to serve as a tradition, as a transition.
Yeah, I'd be okay conditionally zoning this, as we talked about, but for the fact that you don't have owned homes here. These are all rented properties, and the buffering issues. Those are my concerns.
Understood.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
I would share those concerns on it being rental versus owned. Unfortunately for the neighbors, this might end up being better than having those other three commercial buildings sitting there for you. I don't know, until those buildings would be full of commercial, you won't know. This is a tough one, because this might be a better situation for you than what you might end up with. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying I'd rather see it being owned. And then I would agree with you completely, Adam. This is a great transition, but the rental is a problem.
Right.
Well, I'm parked similar as well, Scott. So I look at that, and I'm hearing what both of you guys are saying. I think there's some good points there. All the commercial would be rental as well. Those are rental units, not rental residential, but they're rental. And I also look at that and say, it's somewhat apples and oranges, but there is an approved commercial plan with commercial buildings and rental tenants. Those are all tenants. And from a impact to the neighborhood, from a value standpoint, is a rental residential worse than a rental commercial? I don't know that I can make that call. I think there's an obvious commercial component at the corner, as noted by staff, where we have two main arteries. That makes plenty of sense to me. And then I see a transition in multifamily to single family versus the existing is commercial from the corner all the way down to residential.
With no buffer.
So I guess I'm seeing it both ways in here. The other alternative is, if I'm hearing Greg right, they could change these to duplexes and not need to change the zoning and still be rentals. Would that be right, Greg?
They've got ULI land use, and they can go to R3 zoning.
So speak real quick on the conditional zoning. You know, that would be fine, because, you know, if this does not go off, then we will not be coming back to the commission, and we'll just put the land up for sale. So this will be kind of our last go around on this. You know, we'll sell it off to somebody, and there may just be a strip mall there, you know, but, you know, we want to own and manage this as a community member that has hundreds plus lots left to sell around this, and family members that actually live in the community right there as well. So, but if this doesn't go through, then, you know, we're going to scrap the idea, and we'll just put it up for sale, and who knows what might end up there then with the commercial zoning.
Okay, can I ask a few conceptual plans about the site plan while we've got you up there?
Absolutely.
And this, I know, I understand, is a conceptual layout. Can you go up to the site plan, Greg? Wherever this goes for the future, from the comment standpoint, I see the dumpster in the middle of a block of parking. You can point that out there, Greg, right there. That just looks like it's an access issue. I'm not sure how the garbage truck backs in there and
That was our original layout, but after speaking with city staff, there's been an agreement that they would have city services with trash removal.
Okay, because that was another question I had about where does the recycle go?
Yep, they would all have their own trash and recycle bin.
Okay. I didn't see any handicapped on the commercial concept parking.
They've all been taken into account, and we're within the parking requirements.
Okay.
They're not marked on there, but there is handicap accessible parking that's within the requirements.
On the original site plan that's currently approved, Adam, there's water detention. I don't see any water detention on this. Where's that going?
So the detention is already sized down in the actual community of Windham Hills. So there's a pond further down that's sized for that. And then when we get the final layout of everything and the actual construction drawings, you know, I know that there's going to be some water quality things that we're going to have to do, areas for bioswales and things like that. But we're well within the green space requirements to have those things installed.
Okay. Bear with me a second. Layout, just looking at design standpoint, if somebody pulled up to one of those two-car garages that you've conceptually shown, how do the people in the one car get in?
So we've kind of wide out the driveways into a shape of a Y, but with all the calculations that we've done, they will still have room to have two parking spots in front of the garages as well as two cars inside, that the people in the one cars on the outsides of the building would have room to still get in and out.
So if there's cars in front of the garage doors, they can still enter the single
That's correct.
Separate units. Okay. And then while we've got you there too, Ann had raised the question, and so had Greg, about the easement that's recorded and shown on the plat. Can you address that?
We have our engineer here, Dave Meyer, and I'll let him address that if that's okay.
Okay.
I'm Dave Meyer with Verbeck Meyer Consulting Engineers. The easement that's shown on that plat as it is approved right now is called a utility easement. It was set up for installation of utilities to be put in as the commercial developed. To my knowledge, there is nothing in that easement, and with the replatting, if it goes through, that easement will automatically be vacated by the utility companies. So it should not be an issue.
Work for staff. Okay. All right, anyone else from the commission?
Yeah, I do. The other concern that I see looking at changing it from urban low intensity to urban medium intensity, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, at low intensity, C1, the buildings that are commercial would be having daytime hours. And if you move it to urban medium intensity and say they don't put the quadplex in, it could be used commercial for C2, which would be, I mean, potentially businesses with later hours and more traffic. Is that correct?
I'm going to look to staff to answer okay. that, Greg.
Well, you would, the land use, if the land use changes to UMI, you could then change the zoning of the property to a C2 level, because the land use is going to permit that.
Where's the chart you had, Greg, with the...
which has different uses. What are some of the uses you can have in a C2 as opposed to a C1?
You're going to have larger grocery stores. You're going to have the potential for more intense type retail, and our new land uses elicits what those are under the zoning classes. But C2 is going to be a larger step up. You're going to be attracting more traffic in from other parts. C1 is considered to be more of a localized use, where you will not be generating traffic to come from farther away. It's going to be more localized, and then again, more of a walkable type use that might be there.
So in order to protect the neighborhood, we need to make this conditional.
You're going to have to figure out a way to do that.
And Greg, to Janessa's point, was with a C1, are there restrictions on hours of operation?
There's not any restrictions on hours. It's going to be potentially the setbacks are going to be maybe greater in C1, and then the height of the structure is going to be lessened. In C2, you can have a heightened structure. I believe we kept that provision in there for multi-stories.
To answer your question, no, there's no restriction on operating hours.
Okay. And what's currently approved on the commercial is under the C1 UL.
ULI, yes. It's C1 right there.
So as it currently is shown on the plat we had up there with the four or five commercial buildings under C1, both in height and setback and everything else, it's compliant.
They'd have to go through, well, yes, they went through the site plan review process, yes.
Right. So that could be built as it's currently platted and recorded and approved.
With the site plan, that site plan is controlling right now.
Okay.
So a business could come in currently and be open at the hours they choose as long as they comply with the setbacks and the other conditions.
Well, and it's up, I don't know, in the past this body has also limited, I think maybe the hours of operation, or maybe it was the Board of Adjustment. I don't know what
BOA,
we can sort of
right.
set that, but
yeah, Board of Adjustment.
They could be open at different hours, yes.
Okay.
It just depends on what the type of business is, and it'll be fitting within the conforming to the C1.
I guess my main point wasn't necessarily the hours, but just the concern of changing the urban medium intensity. And even though it is currently C1, if we change the zoning, then it could be changed to a C2
mm-hmm.
if it didn't stay at that.
Same with even the land use.
Yeah, I think that was a great point that
right.
Paul made.
You're
is
opening the door.
Yeah, the door is open wide
right.
at that point, so it'd have to be contingent, at least from the context of our conversation so far. So anyone else with the commission? Okay, then we will open it up to the audience for any of those that would like to comment and participate relative to this case. I believe there's a sign-in sheet up there so we can track that as well. So when you do go to the podium, if you would sign your name. What else do we need on there? Address?
Yeah, I can get address. There's a line for the address and yep. the name of the resident.
Yeah, and if you oppose or are in favor of
oh,
the case.
Yeah, notify your persuasion in the case.
Mr. Chairman, you might want to have the city attorney comment on why that's germane tonight.
Oh, please.
Sure. So in the event of either a recommendation by this commission to not approve the proposed land use amendment and rezoning, or in the event that 20% of the homeowners or landowners within 200 feet of the boundary of the property at issue, if either of those situations materialize, then when it goes to council would need 3/4 supermajority to approve. So in either event, either a recommendation to not approve or 20% of the applicable residents oppose, then that supermajority kicks in.
And would that opposition have to come tonight?
It would not. It would have to be prior to or at the public hearing with the city council.
Okay, yeah. Good clarification.
But what the sign-in sheet helps us do is kind of see where this thing is at after tonight's meeting.
Sure, okay. Thanks for that clarification. Okay, anyone in the audience would like to present? There's lots of you out there. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Gary Larson, and I am a homeowner in Windham Hills. As a matter of fact, my house is right, butts right up against your homes. Where Middle Road is, we're right, our backyard faces Middle Road. Okay, so I'm looking at what you're seeing here, and I just want to keep this very short and brief. when we built in 2012, we were told there'd be probably just a couple of small businesses, you know, office buildings as we have up the street there. That has grown in the past year, I want to say, to a massive amount of discussion and work to where we're going to have a bank, we're going to have a drive-through coffee shop, we're going to have a restaurant with a bar into it, they're going to have some offices in there, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And obviously that did not come to fruition. It fell through. We had heard rumors of condos going to be built, and most of us said, good, homeowners, pride of ownership, condos, we can live with that, okay? But the commercial part bothered us. And then we heard, now there's going to be rentals. And rentals, flags went up all over the place for all of us. And I'm in total disagreement of rentals. Okay, it bothers me a lot. If we have the bank or the coffee shop or a restaurant with a bar that's going to be open late and you're going to have rentals there, what it was to stop these condos from, they don't want to sell them, they want to rent them. Is it possible that the next step could be a same type of thing as renting it out with our Betplex down there that's going to come in, which is a great project. I love the scheme of that. But Airbnb keeps ringing in the back of my mind. What's to stop them from, you know, renting them in that manner if they don't have the sales going for or the other rentals that they anticipated they want to do? When you're looking at 69 up the street and 21 here, right from the get-go, from what I had seen, we've seen that Windmiller was advertising the commercial part, advertising they're going to be residentials. I mean, this is all up front, and that's fine. People know what they're getting by going in that direction. This has been changed so many times, it's bothering us a lot. And we as homeowners are really concerned about the investment that we have made into that subdivision, and everyone is, if you just drive through, you can see there's been money spent, and there's they take care of it and all, and we are really leery and concerned about rentals. One question that I have, and I'm not sure, it's something, but I understood that there was, in that property there, that whole commercial property, there was underground water going down, from my understanding, leaving that or traveling through there and wound up going through the back part of some of my neighbors and continued on down. With this construction, will that create a problem? Or has that been resolved and rectified? Because I know some of our neighbors down there had to get some professionals in to try to solve that problem down there. And I think if it's going to go from a C1 to a C2, and if they don't get this passed, they would just sell it. But that C2 is a step up, and does that mean that the next commercial property could be even larger? Or could it be just go back to the C1? Or I guess my question is, how many times are we going to go back on this and see exactly when is this going to stop? What do we want to do? Let's do the best thing for subdivision for the area.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. And I think I'm speaking for the council here, or the commission at this point, that any action we anticipate taking tonight, I'm believing to be, would be conditional upon the site plan proposed for the very reason of not knowing what could come. I think Paul made a great point that we're all very sensitive to right now, that we do not want to open the door to unknown C2 with a UM, urban medium intensity, because that is not the intent of where we want to end up. So I don't think if anybody's got a concern about that, that's definitely not our direction this evening. So, okay. Was there someone else that wanted to speak with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
Just a second, I'm going to sign in. Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I'm glad to see all my neighbors turn out for this tonight. And I think perhaps there's some information you don't know about. In the year of, I think it's around the year of 2004. I believe that was correct. I could be off a few years, but I'm not positive, but I've got the papers so I can prove it at home. The city acquired some ground from us, which included this commercial area or whatever, not so much the whole commercial area. But we owned a rental property up there at the time. It was a residential house, and the city reassured us that that house had to come out because of the road realignment. And I lived in that house for a while, and as I see it, that house could have remained standing and not had to be torn down. And I've been working on this for years, trying to get the information from the city as to who authorized the destruction of that home. And nobody stepped up to the plate to answer that question. So I can see your concerns, folks, because people haven't been honest with me for years. And I'm not saying Mr. Sykes is dishonest, because he's probably a really decent guy. I really do believe that. I don't think he's trying to hurt anybody or ruin anybody's real estate. But I want you to remember one thing. I've been trying to get this information from the city for a long time, and nobody's answering the questions for me as to why that house was torn down when it could have remained standing. It wasn't in the way of the road. And I don't know if there was collaboration with the city and the developer at the time. I have no idea. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, because I don't really know the facts, but I've been asking this question for years as to why somebody doesn't give me the answer to that question. Why did that house have to come down? And there's a number of other unresolved issues, too. There was vacated ground from that road realignment that's supposed to come back to the previous owners. And so far to this day, 14 years plus, is still in limbo. Nobody answers that question either. Now, as I look at the zoning board, I'm not sure how many folks were on the zoning board at that time, and you're all, I don't know all of you folks, believe me, I don't, but have you ever considered why I'm upset and why I'm complaining about what took place there? And I haven't been approached by anybody from the zoning board, and the city ignores me completely. They won't give me any attention whatsoever. Now, I've talked to the Iowa Department of Transportation, and I asked them, I said, do you have any idea who authorized the destruction of that house? And they said, well, it certainly wasn't us. So that leaves two other parties. There's the city of Bettendorf or the Howard R. Green engineering firm. That's the only two remaining parties that would have any authorization to destroy that house. Nobody's given me the answers. So I can see your point tonight, people, that you are concerned about your properties. And it's important to you to get the information that you deserve to have. And I would expect the city to step up, and also the developer, to give you the honest answers. I asked for that for years, and I've gotten nowhere. And I'm going to try to wrap this up as quick as I can. I would expect the board, the zoning board, plus the city council, to discuss with me one-on-one what took place there and why. You know, Decker Plain isn't here tonight to answer any questions. Previous city attorney Greg Jagger isn't here to answer any questions. The previous city administrator Wally Mook isn't here to answer any questions. But you can rest assured they know the answers and are not giving them to me. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for the record, too, Joe, I think Chris has indicated that he'd be happy to meet with you and go over. He's new to the lawyer position, but.
Pardon me?
Mr. Van Horst, my name is Chris Curran. I'm the new city attorney. I've only been here for about 6 months, but I'd be happy to look at this and meet with you and work through and answer any questions that you might have.
I appreciate that.
This on?
Yeah. Yep.
I would appreciate that.
And I did talk to the previous attorney. I believe her name was Christine Stone. Do I have that right?
Chris Stone, yep.
Yep.
And I got nowhere there, and I certainly didn't get anywhere with Greg Jagger. So I really would look forward to talking to you, Chris.
Sounds good.
Did I get it? Chris, what was?
Curran, C-U-R-R-A-N.
You
can stay, Joe, till we're done. He'll connect with you, and you guys maybe can set up an appointment to visit. So.
Okay, but this is a lot more serious than what you folks think it is. There's some serious issues here that needs to be resolved. And before I'd shovel one scoop of dirt, I'd get this straightened out, because this is very important, and I think this is going to look better for the city if they do something right for a change as far as been upfront and honest. For years, I couldn't get any honesty from anybody. And let's get this resolved, because I understand everybody's feelings here tonight. You know, people are upset. And if you were dishonest with me, I don't expect them to, you know, to be honest with them either. So I thank you for your time.
Okay.
And I look forward to speaking with you.
Yep.
And I would like to speak to all of you, too, not just Mr. Chris.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Okay. Last call. Okay. Back to the commission.
I'll get it rolling. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 17-090, subject to the staff recommendations, and that it be conditional that what is on the concept plan is what is actually built.
Okay.
I'll second the motion so that we could have some further discussion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17090. We have discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be honest, I'm very torn about this. The C1 is going to be a problem for these people. The rental property is a problem for the people. So I really don't know where to go with this. I think I'm going to probably come to the fall back and say that we have an existing plan that's been approved and that has been through the process, and say I'll stay with that. I'm not real sure that I this concept that we have right now needs a lot of work. There are a lot of issues there as far as buffering with the adjacent properties. The buffering on this would probably be better than the buffering we have on the existing plan. Mm-hmm. But I am really concerned about the rental aspect of this. And so that's why I am falling back to something which may be actually worse for the community. I don't know that.
I would share those comments exactly. I'm struggling. There's just a little bit of split the baby. And I'm not living next door to it. I live across the street from it, but I'm still in the area. And I struggle as well. I think there's actually less intensity of impact to the adjacent owners with a single family, well, multifamily, but residential use than it is with the back of a commercial building and the lights from the parking lot and all the other activity that can go on for many more hours than single trips back and forth during the day for normal living. I'm not next to it, but it's clearly a dilemma.
Yeah.
I couldn't beg to tell you which is better for value for the adjacent owners, C1 commercial or residential rental. I think it's a crapshoot, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm surprised a little bit that there's as much objection to the multifamily, considering that the alternative is probably a push at best from all the other aspects, but it is what we've heard. So with the condition, I'm probably inclined to say, okay, let's take it in, see if we can get an acceptable site plan. They could also come back and put duplexes in there and not even have to change the zoning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you take those two units and you put 5 feet between them, it's now acceptable.
Yep.
That's the reality of it, too.
Yep.
So have we really fixed anything?
I don't know. I really don't know. We're looking at a concept.
Right.
We really don't know what it's going to look like.
Right.
So what we're really debating here is whether we should make it a more intense use. And so even conditionally, that ameliorates it somewhat, but it's still more intense use. And I don't know.
If I knew it was going to be a more intense use, I'd vote against it.
I would too.
If we can manage a site plan approval process with input from the neighbors and we can't get to an approved site plan, it fails. And it doesn't, the zoning doesn't get more intense, the way I'm understanding it. Is that correct, Bill?
Well, can I make one clarification? The graph that Greg put up there was the future land uses. So the properties currently zoned C1, to have this density of commercial, they would still have to rezone it. If they went to duplexes, they'd still have to rezone it, but they wouldn't have to change the land use, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Oh. So rezoning would have to take place for the residential to be built on that property.
Okay. But not the land use.
Not the land
use. That's a good point.
Okay.
But what's shown on the previous site plan with the C1 and the four commercial buildings could be built without any changes.
It's already been approved.
It's been approved. It's there. Mm-hmm. It could be there.
And what I gathered from Mr. Seitz was that basically right now there's not a commercial market to fit what they wanted to do into the C1 zoning. However, as Bettendorf continues to develop and as the Betplex gets underway, and if that takes off the way it's anticipated, then I could foresee a situation where a year or two from now that land is valuable for a commercial use, mm-hmm. and they are able to fill it with commercial tenants, such that if we don't approve this tonight and it sits for a year or two, to Roy's point, it may be worse for the residents because they may end up with more commercial businesses than they want there. That's what I see. I think my impression when I asked why the change, and he said lack of commercial tenants, my impression was I think you're 2 years ahead of the curve, and that in 2 years that will be a valuable commercial location. That's just my opinion. I have no data. I've lived in Bettendorf for my life, but that's just what I see potentially happening with that area. So I think this is a difficult
decision. The other
thing
I just want to remind everyone is that, you know, we're going to be owning and managing these as rentals, and we also do that as a portion of our business. You know, we maintain and own just under 700 rental units as part of our profession as well. So, you know, I think that if these are to be maintained as rentals, you know, the city's better off to have us be owning them and managing them than to sell it off to something else that who knows what might end up there.
But why not just build condos like these folks are saying they'd be agreeable to? Why not build condos and sell them off for a profit like you normally do?
Rentals are just another part of our business model.
Okay, so
and that's what we've entertained.
It's a business decision for you as it relates to this piece of land.
No, not necessarily. We think it's a betterment for the community to go from commercial to multifamily to residential as a buffer. That's what we feel is better for the community. No, actually, I mean, if it were to work out for 30,000 square foot, if we're talking about profitability, 30,000 square foot, if it's full, is much more profitable than 21 apartment rentals, okay? And it's much more invasive to the community than 21 multifamily units that are going after an active senior community with no steps. It's an amenity to the neighborhood. So it's much less invasive.
I agree with that.
Well, with the rental rates of what we're going for and the product that we're building, it would go towards that. And that's how we're planning to market it.
Jeff, I
makes a lot of sense, but I think you sell them, you're going to have to
deal with selling. Anybody who's going to comment, I want to capture the podium so we can catch that. But we'd love your comment if you want to put it on the record for us.
Jeff, I would share your assessment. And I wanted to get this motion going so we could have this discussion. I do feel for the residents. You know, at this point, what you have in front of you, I think, is much better than you could end up with. If in 2 years, Jeff's assessment is correct, you could have as many restaurants as could fit in those four buildings sitting there as the parking lot would allow, and they could be open as late as the clubhouse used to be opened. And while you folks don't live anywhere around the clubhouse, I was pretty close to it. Nobody liked it. It was ugly at night. Mm-hmm. That's what you could end up with. So I'm torn for you in that this looks like a better solution of what you may end up with, quite possibly could end up with. So it makes it really hard. Is without the conditional, this would be a no-brainer. I'd be turning this down.
Right.
I'm sensitive to the, and I didn't consider it the Airbnb comment. I mean, can we make it conditional on that it can't be a two-day rental or a three-day rental or a short-term rental?
I want to defer to the city attorney.
Airbnb is a difficult and ever-changing issue. Currently, under our ordinances, Airbnbs would struggle to be compliant with our ordinance. I don't know that we typically get as granular as to limit a type of right. use in this context. So I think that would be outside the realm of the conditional nature of what you're looking at.
I'm not speaking from a legal standpoint. I'm speaking from my neighborhood, which is your neighborhood. We have an Airbnb on our street in a private residential home. So, and that has gone through all approval with the city and whatever needed to be done. So I'm not familiar with this or how it works, but I know it has gone into my neighborhood.
I don't know that there's any approval that was done. These things happen.
Yeah, right.
It has to fit within.
That's the way it was pitched, I'll say.
Yeah.
Adam, can I ask you another question? Business-wise, is it possible for you to sell and market these as condos instead of rentals?
At the current time, that's not something that we were planning on entertaining. It's always possible, yes, but at this point, that's not something that we've been entertaining. Rentals is part of our business model that we do, you know, function as a property manager and landlord, and that's the business model that we were planning on using on this site.
Okay, and to your credit, and as a fellow builder, I did notice the zero entry that you were speaking about and was commented that Dolan also does, and that is very typically marketed to the older community. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, we've had some healthy discussion. Are we ready for a vote, or is there any further discussion?
Since we all mentioned that we do have concern for you, neighbors in the community, it would be really nice to hear from someone on their feelings of having a commercial building in your backyard or having these handsome rental properties.
No, I would just like to say, regardless of whether it's commercial or rentals, Advance Homes would end up being the owners. So we're going to maintain it as if we maintain the rest of our communities, okay, with, you know, the HOAs, with the mowing, the snow removal, you know, all the things that we already currently do in Windham Hills, Windham West, all the other subdivisions and apartment communities that we maintain, we would continue to do that in this area.
Since I'm not familiar, which other rental properties are owned by Windham?
In the city of Bettendorf, yes. We own the Williamsburg Apartments and we own the Terrace Park Villas. So right around 150 units in the city of Bettendorf. And then we own all the Candlelight properties, the Racquet Club in Davenport, and then we have properties in Peoria as well.
Thank you.
Okay. No one else from the audience to, okay.
I think I'm just going to add one more comment, my last comment. If we were to approve this conditioned on the concept plan, we still have to look at a site plan. I think the developers heard a lot of concerns from us. I think based on their previous work in the city that they're striving to have a successful project, that they're going to listen to the concerns and bring us a site plan that we're going to be comfortable putting into that neighborhood. I'm not sure that looks exactly like what I'm looking at tonight, but we're not voting on site plan. We're just looking at the land use and the rezoning and the replat.
And the replat. The thing about, if I might just add to that, the thing about this is if we do approve this tonight, this gives us another shot at improving a lot. Because I'm looking at this plan that we have right there, and there is hardly any buffering between those commercial unit there, I guess, on the south side and the neighborhood, and there's very little across the avenue there. So we will at least get a chance to improve the buffering adjacent to the neighborhood if we approve this tonight, and it gives them, I think, a residential area, albeit rental, but it is residential versus commercial.
Well, and it was Gary, you got up and spoke about it, and you live adjacent on the south side of Middle Road. So as I look at that, and give me feedback, just like Janessa was saying, let's hear what you say, but you're losing or gaining, depending on how you look at it, a right-in, right-out entrance that would have been right next to your property. Headlights, car noise, traffic, all that other.
That's going away.
That's going away, and now you've got somebody's deck and porch and green space between you. So I look at that and I say, if I were living where you're at, I'd say my life got better. But I'm not hearing you say that. I'm hearing you say it got worse, and we're all trying to understand how that makes it worse.
I mean, right now he's got, on that plan, he has 10 feet between of space for the building line. On this one, he's got 25 feet. So, I mean, there's a marked improvement there.
Mm-hmm. And the
not even a, talking
it
about
was pavement
the, yes.
adjacent to there and road traffic and, or car
and
traffic.
He was going to have some trees and a fence right there. He could still have trees and a fence, but he's going to have 25 feet anyway.
So that, and we're trying to be as open and transparent with all of you as we can. And I'm hoping you're appreciating the, you're living the dilemma, so are we. We're right there with you. But we're looking for the best outcome for everybody. And it's hard for me to see how the multifamily residential might not be better than what's currently on the table.
The new design eliminates a lot of the concerns that were brought up at the last, you know, with the drive-throughs, with headlights and people's front yards and back doors and things like that. You know, and the new site plan would eliminate all those concerns.
And we've had a lot of discussion about multifamily in general in Bettendorf and commercial, and everybody's got an opinion. I'll throw mine out too. There is a lot of commercial coming on line in Bettendorf. Somebody mentioned the Windmiller development along 53rd. I don't know how many of those have been filled up at this point. You've got commercial sitting at the intersection of 53rd and Middle Road that's available. You've got commercial that's being developed on Betplex that's being developed. You've got multifamily, I don't remember how many units, Bill, at Devil's Glen and 53rd Street. Kevin's here somewhere. How many units is that? There's a ton of units coming in up there.
First building is 50.
First building is 50. We've got 63 or 66 coming in 300 yards from this one with residential multi-story rental. So it's there, it's coming, it's around us. So how best do we manage that? And it's got to make sense economically. It's mm-hmm. got to make sense functionally, aesthetically. We all want the best neighborhood to live in. So that's our struggle. That's our job here.
I'm going to make one more comment. I said I made my
last one. I know, you said the last one. Please, you've been so good at it.
I'm going to put one more in there. You've talked from the perspective, Roy, of if that were my neighborhood. If that were my neighborhood, I would prefer to have my neighborhood developer working on a project that impacts all of my development in that area pretty directly than to have some outside person come in who doesn't really have a correlation or a connection to the neighborhood, and they're just looking at how can they max out that that area. And I think Jeff brought up a really good point. A year from now, 2 years from now, that corner could look a lot different, and the type of usage that somebody tries to put in there could be much different.
Well, there's a, and I'll rephrase that in another way too, there's a vested interest by the developer to do it
right
and maintain it, because he still owns lots in Wyndham Hills, and he's got 90 lots to develop in Wyndham West across the street. And if this becomes a detraction, all that becomes less valuable. So I think there is some value to that as well. I would be more afraid if I were sitting where you guys are adjacent to this with that unknown party, if the for sale sign goes up. At least you're dealing with something known here. Could it be better? Yes. I don't bet much, but I wouldn't make that bet personally.
So, Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, the issue is that looking back at records 10 years ago in 2007, this as a commercial piece of property has already been approved. And what Adam is saying is if these fourplexes don't go in, it's going to go back up for sale, and it's going to be commercial property again.
And then a new site plan will come, all those new things will happen.
And so we're really at the point of either you have fourplexes, or you're going to have, it's going to go right back to commercial. You're going to have all the issues from the previous site plan. Yeah, to the podium, please.
Can we be assured that this is
Let's get you at the podium, please, so we can capture you on the record, please.
Hi, I'm Linda Larson, and I live right butted up against the area that we're talking about. When we moved in, we were told, like my husband said, that there was going to be a couple of businesses built there, and then we got hit with the big, whatever, how many, four buildings that were going to be, have businesses in, and now we were told that you were going to have rental units in there with a couple of retail businesses in there. So we've been told three different things since we moved in there. Is this going to be the final thing that is going in there, or is something else going to happen that we're told something else is going to go in there? I mean, this is property that is right butted up against where we live. I mean, at one time there was going to be a dumpster 10 feet from our backyard. I mean, now you're saying that, yeah, this is great because now there's going to be grass and trees from our backyard. Is that a promise? I don't know. When we moved out there, we moved into a beautiful house, beautiful yard, beautiful neighborhood in Bettendorf. And now we don't know what's going to be next to us. And maybe you can all sit up there and say, you know, this would be the greatest thing for us, but you don't live right next to it. Thank you.
Well, while I've got you there, can I just ask you a question? So from your perspective, and you would live right next to this, if I said to you today, would you rather have the site plan as it is with the commercial or multifamily, what would your response be?
I would rather have the multifamily if I knew that that's what was going to be. And it would be better if you would sell them and we would have owners in there that would take pride in what they have and what they own, like the neighbors in Wyndham Hills. We take pride in what we own. And we take care of it. And when you get renters in there, you don't know. And this is the first that I've heard that it's going to be geared towards 55 or older.
What's the guarantee?
I know. What's the guarantee that this is going to be 55 or older in there? Are we going to have kids running around all over, or, you know, families in there that don't take care of the property? I understand that it'll be owned by the sites is, but they're not going to be living there. other families are going to be living in there, and they're not going to be over there taking care of the property all the time. It's the families that are going to be living in there that should be taking care of the property.
Okay, thanks.
I would just like to talk to pride of ownership. You know, we it's going to have a renter in it, a tenant, whether it's commercial or residential rental. So pride of ownership, we're still going to own the buildings. Like I said before, we maintain the subdivisions, you know, the HOAs, and nobody seems to have any complaints about our pride of ownership with the HOAs. So, you know, we're going to continue to own and maintain these buildings. They're approved. And then also, as far as a promise, if this is platted this way, then yes, it would be a promise because the setbacks would be 25 foot all the way around.
Yeah. There's no way we can tell you with 100% assurance today this is what it will be. But what we can tell you, if this doesn't go, you're facing the unknown. So it's the challenge of, do I take and try and manage forward with the rental the way it is, upgrading the zoning conditioned upon it being residential? That's the best guarantee, and that's the only way we'll even look at it, is if it's conditioned on a multifamily site plan, not commercial, or they say, nope, not going to work, for sale. And now if you ended up with the commercial plan like it was here, I'd say you lost.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee it, but what we're trying to do is get to the best end result for the greatest certainty. And it sounds like, based on what we've heard tonight and tried to work through, that's the direction we're headed. And if it doesn't work out and we can't get to an agreeable site plan, then they're going to say, nope, I'm not going to do it. And we're saying, nope, we're not going to approve it. And then we're back to where we are today, which, it, again, solely in my opinion, is then you guys lose, because now you're back to the unknown. It's a third party. It's not the people that live in the neighborhood and have subdivisions around it and want to maintain it for the value overall. Those dynamics are important. I live across the street. They keep up my neighborhood. They keep up Wyndham Hills. They keep up their properties. What I've seen demonstrated so far is good. That's balanced against somebody who could be better or somebody that could be worse. And that's the bet I wouldn't personally take. So,
and I believe you hit it best when you said that we have a much greater investment to be concerned about, because we have 90 plus lots in Wyndham West and more lots in Wyndham Hills, that we really have a vested interest in everyone's property values, including ours, because we have 100 plus home sites still left to sell in the area.
And you're going to be competing against 66 brand new units right up the street.
Correct.
So you have to maintain a certain level. It's a competitive, it's a free market. Welcome to capitalism, but there's going to be a lot of rental coming in, and the better rental gets the better tenants. The worst rental gets the worst tenants.
And based on the demographic looking for, we don't plan on competing against a three-story townhouse. You know, we're looking for that 55 plus community with no steps. You know, everybody's got their own garage on the same level. You know, that does not exist right now in our community as a residential rental. So that's the demographic that we're looking for. So we're not looking to even compete against those other 69, you know, that are coming in, because we're looking for a different demographic.
Yeah, but if a qualified tenant comes in, you can't tell them no.
That's correct.
That's the law. But you know where you're headed from a marketing standpoint.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Could you tell me a little more about the units themselves? Are they like two bedroom, one bathroom, or?
Each unit, the fourplex, is going to have two bedrooms and two one bedrooms. The one bedrooms are going to be roughly 800 square foot. The two bedrooms are going to be just a little over
1,000 square foot. Washer and dryer is included.
Each is going to have their own garage, like I said. So, you know, they're going to have nice finishes, and the exteriors are going to blend into the neighborhood with same building materials that we're currently using, with stone, you know, shake, you know, architectural roofs, same roof pitches that we're currently building in the neighborhood.
Were those on slab or foundation basement? On slab. Okay.
Could you tell me also about your rental procedures as a businessman? I mean, is it typically 1 year minimum or 6 months minimum?
Well, state law, you can only offer a 12-month lease for residential rental.
Okay.
You can go shorter than that, but you know, 12 months is what we offer, and that's what we'd be looking to offer. We do full verifications on credit, background, employment verification, and landlord history. So we do full vetting on all of our tenants.
Thank you.
This is like at the bar. I don't go to the bar. Last call. All right, we have a motion, we have a second, we have an abundant amount of discussion, which I think has been great. Thank you for the input from the audience, both for and against. All those in favor of approving case 17090, subject to staff recommendations, as well as the additional restriction that it's conditioned upon a site plan similar to what's attached in the exhibit, say aye.
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 Opposed? 17090 is approved.
All right, we need another motion for 17091, the rezoning. I'll make that motion, subject to the same concept conditional requirement.
I'll second that.
Just a disappointing discussion. I know we've made the motion subject to the concept plan, but should we be saying something more like subject that it stays residential rather than?
Sure, we can add that mm-hmm. clarification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yep.
Okay. So we have a motion. Did we get a second on that one from Ann?
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case 17-091, subject to staff recommendations and the other residential conditions as noted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? 17091 is approved. Ann, you're on a roll.
All right. Case number 17093, the replat of the Wyndham Villas. I would move for approval with the same conditions, subject to staff recommendations.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17093, subject to staff recommendations and the noted restrictions. Replat, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? 17093 is approved.
Okay.
And with that, Ann, I know you have to depart.
Yep, I have to depart.
Duly noted. And to those present, I would encourage the continued communication between residents and developer so that we can come together with the city and have a beautiful thing in a month or two. So, yeah, thank you, everybody. Next case, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this is a land use amendment and a rezoning for the Rivermont Collegiate Academy. We got Mississippi Boulevard right here. We have 18th Street here and Sunset Drive here. There's a means of access off of Sunset Drive, and then you have an exit that goes off to Mississippi Boulevard. Petitioners requesting a land use amendment to UHI and from R2 single family residence district to R5 multifamily residence district. This gives you an idea here of where that locale is. Essentially, you're looking at this site for Mississippi Boulevard. You're looking at the academy here. There is a house that is up here that is destined for removal potentially right here. This is a view from Ridgeview
Court. Yeah, I was going to say, actually, I was up there today. They are tearing it down. It's about down. Yeah.
The house is being torn down.
It is torn down.
Oh, that's... It's interesting. Well,
it's rubble. Yes, it's yeah. rubble.
The
construction crew is there
well,
today.
Well, we got one of the last photos yesterday. There's another photo variation on that. This right here is the area encompassed for rezoning that goes beyond, of course, the existing structures that are here. This is what the structure would look like. This is a basement considered here, but the remaining floors, the three plus this excess up here, are what are considered under the ordinance, which are going to implement some requirements in terms of separation between this structure and this garage house attached on the adjoining parcel. And you do have a letter from this individual here that is a protest letter regarding that potential site. This is the demolition right now of the existing structure. This garage here will be maintained. There'll be potentially a resurfacing of this area. And given the requirements that might be implemented, there could be as much as a 15-foot or as little as a 10-foot movement in the building further to the west, given the side yard setback requirements. And then we also have to make sure, verify the distance between the property line in this garage as well as the building to that site, because that is another factor in the R5 zoning. The height of the building here governs that separation distance here, and then there is a setback requirement for anything exceeding a two-story limit. So we have to look at this additional story plus an additional area above in order to determine the actual distance for separating this structure to that one and this structure for a side lot line requirement separation with the property line as it is right here.
Hey, and Greg, can I just pause you to maybe provide a little more insight, because you're right in the spot I'm going to ask you about anyway. So the current house that was there, is that a substantial grade difference? There's almost like a buildup of the lot and then the house sat on top of it. And I'm trying to figure out where the parking is going to be as proposed in the site plan relative to the floor level and where the basement's going to be. Are they going to excavate out that large mound that the house was set on, or is this structure going to go on that and up from there?
Well, the ground area, basically, this is going to be the ground area that's retained right here. I don't know if they're going to shave that off. I'm assuming that the way it looks, they may be doing that, but we'd have to look at the contours to see what they're going to do, and that's something that would come up at the site plan level, which is going to be probably within the next month or two. But this is the only thing that technically is a basement area. I don't know. From this point, you're looking at a 12-foot area here.
Let me offer a clarification on that. We can't determine if that's basement or not.
Building, I couldn't either, so thank
you. The building code tells us when they come with site development plan where we see the finished grade is going to be, if more than 50% of the lowest level is more than 50% under grade, then it's a basement.
Okay.
If it's the opposite, if more than 50% of that perimeter is not 50%
exposed,
of the grade,
then
it's a story. So we'll make that determination at the time they come out with the site development plan.
Okay.
And that'll impact the side yard as well as the distance from the other structure. On the table here again, UHI, here's the R5. So that necessitates, at least on this significance here, that's what they applied for, and then that's what in turn is being asked for.
So, and Greg, again, next door immediately to the east is zoned what?
That is R2. Everything pretty much surrounding this site is all R2.
R2, okay. Thank you. Did I interrupt you, or were you done?
No.
Okay.
Staff would make a recommendation for approval, given the conditions listed in the report.
Questions from the commission or comments? I'm going to ask one maybe silly question, but I got to ask it after going over there, because I was familiar with the site, but I couldn't just conceptualize what was being contemplated. So I went over this afternoon and looked it all over. Why in the world would we not put a dormitory up at grade on Sunset Drive instead of deal with this incredible challenge topography at the southeast corner?
Yeah.
Is that too obvious a question?
That's
or maybe
a question.
What am I missing?
I had the same question when
you.
I went out there. So
yeah.
Please,
well,
enlighten us.
Scott Illingsworth, I'm with Russell Construction, and we're the petitioner on behalf of Rivermont. We did a site use plan and looked at a number of different options, and this is the location that the owner kind of landed on as fitting best with their programming. We did look at putting a new building up on Sunset, and they felt that that would really kind of block the view of the mansion, which is a real centerpiece of their property. And we thought we would have, if we built a four-story building out there, that we would have problems with the neighbors at that location also. So we thought that this was a good fit. We're burying one story underground as a basement and three stories above. The finished floor of the first floor, not the basement, but the first floor, is actually lower than the first floor of the house. And the house was two-story plus an attic with a pretty good pitch roof on that. So our actual building height is not going to be a whole lot higher than what was there. Another point I'd like to make is the existing house is right on the east lot line.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be moving that 15 to 25 feet away from the lot line.
Okay, that was one of the things when I was looking at the I don't know what I call the site plan or the drawing. What do we call this? The grading plan. Thank you, grading plan. How you would maintain, and that's a 15-foot gap that's shown on this diagram then, is that we're talking about between, I'll call it the east line of the proposed building and the property line. You've got a swale that goes in there, and then you've got some stair-stepping going down the elevation. How does that tie to a property line you're not disturbing on the east? I see he's got his existing grade, and all of a sudden we're going to be doing this. What happens here?
Sure. The existing grade actually does step down to the south quite a bit, actually. So the plan is the south and west sides would be a walkout because that follows the natural contours.
Yeah.
We do have, you know, some swale there on the east side, and we will, you know, we'll just have to step that foundation up on that east side. But I think we've got plenty of room to accomplish what we're doing, and we would actually, you know, we're planning on fencing that and landscaping that east side too to provide some buffer.
No retaining wall at the property line needed there?
No, no.
And then the, so what will be the grade difference between your parking and your finished floor elevation for your basement? Will they be at the same
basically
grade?
Basically, those will be on grade, you know, whatever, you know, we'll be up a foot or whatever for, you know, curb and slope away from the building. But right now, that existing drive to the west, the asphalt paving, to the top of the hill is about that 12 foot. So, you know, the existing grades are where our finished floors are going to be.
And the water you're going to like, notice up at the north end, deletion of basin number one. So you're taking out that pretty aggressive detention area there. And then will it be down in the southeast corner?
We are proposing to shrink the size of the retention basin to the north. And that is, I don't know if you had a chance to look at that when you're over there, but it's pretty deep basin. There's never any standing water in that. It drains freely. And then to the east,
that's kind
along,
of your high spot though too. I mean, you're pretty high there, right? I mean, you're going to have a lot of water heading down.
Right now, it collects from the I think most of that north retention basin collects water from the roof of the school building, from the roof drains, and a little bit of surface drainage in the parking lot on the east side of Becker Hall. All that flows north into that basin, and then from there it flows south down to Mississippi.
Okay.
There's also another retention basin between our proposed building and the exit drive. There's a swale and a basin in there, and we are planning on using that area to pick up additional retention for our proposed development.
And Bill or Greg, I see one handicap noted for parking, and is this little bit of parking sufficient for this building?
We're going to determine the amount of parking necessary, but you're looking at high school students to, down to elementary, and many of them, I believe, would be coming from different countries. So it's hard to say how many will be using vehicles. It's probably going to be less than what you normally see for high school type setting. But we're going to look at the number of units finally proposed when we do a site plan review, and then look at the parking that's going to be processed, and then try to gauge that according to the number of students that will be of driving age.
Actually, according to ordinance, it'll be relative to the number of bedrooms.
Say that again, Bill.
It'll be, according to the ordinance, it'll be relative to the number of bedrooms in the units. So we'll have to take a look at that. If the applicant decides that they think that's excessive, they can come in and ask for a variance to that ordinance.
I've kind of been hogging the mic here. Other questions from the commission? It's aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm going to fall back and say, what about the impact on the neighborhood? We've got a four-story building going in basically a nice wooded area that has been a very nice neighborhood for many, many years. And now we have a four-story building with, I don't know how many units. Has that been addressed? How many?
32 units.
So 32 units with all the attendant noise, et cetera, associated with 32 young people, right up against somebody, right up against somebody. I'm glad I'm not. I go back and I think about Bettendorf Healthcare and how they wanted to put an addition on. And we said no, because you're impacting the neighborhood. You know, you're making it. Those people have grown up around you now, and you missed your opportunity. And I kind of feel like this is the same kind of situation where, you know, you're in the midst of a neighborhood, and you have to be sensitive to that neighborhood. And boy, I look at, you know, you're making sure that your mansion isn't impacted, but you're not worried about the people next to you. I mean, there's room in front of that mansion, between the mansion and the Amesbury Methodist. There's room there to put something that would be easier to build on, but it might ruin the impact of your building. There is room out front. Why does it have to be four stories? Yeah, I mean, all these things are, in my mind, is like, did you really think about the impact on a neighborhood? And that's something that we need to think about, that's in the zoning ordinances. We have to look at the impact on the neighborhood before we approve something like this. So, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I share the same thing. And I looked at that front area and I thought, oh, that'll block the view. But it's not necessarily about, oh, your view got blocked, but I'm going to now put it over here so somebody else's view gets blocked. But similar to our last discussion, the last case, we're going here from not light to medium. We're going from light to high intensity. Yeah. And we're sitting next to, with R5 multifamily next to R2.
And what kind of buffer? I see no buffering. I mean, that building looks like it's about 10 feet from the side.
Was it 15, you said?
15 is as it's drawn, but as noted, we've got another 10 or 15 feet we can play with.
Oh, wow. I mean, you're talking about two zones down. There should be significant buffering between this. Any type of, not just this, but any, in my opinion, any type of project, when you come into a neighborhood and you're going to go two zones higher or denser, there should be significant buffering between that and the adjacent. And we've talked about in our meetings about the new ordinances, that it falls on the people who are doing the developing to provide the buffering. So, you know, there's a lot wrong with this concept right now, in my opinion. And most of it's because, did you have any input from the neighbors? Did you talk to the neighborhood at all?
Yes, we have.
And what was that input?
I know the neighbors to the south certainly have some concerns because there is not a lot of room behind their house and our property line. Although we do have, I believe it's about 50 feet from our building to their property line. So we felt that we gave them plenty of buffer, and they're quite a bit down the hill from our property, so we didn't feel that that south property had that much of an impact. Certainly the property to the east, is impacted. It's just going to be a bigger structure. Like I said, it's not going to be a whole lot taller, but it's going to be longer.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about going from what you stated before as a house to a 32-unit complex. So volume of traffic is greatly increased as well by this new.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily true because that house has been used for classrooms for years, and they've had students in and out of there for the past 50 years.
Okay. What was the volume of kids in that?
That I cannot tell you. 200 is what I'm being told.
About living in the house?
The house has not been lived in for decades.
I'm struggling with a lot of this too. I think the intensity, the gap from light to high, the impact. Now, you mentioned you visited with the neighbors, and there's a lady in the audience I saw shaking her head. I'm guessing you're a neighbor, and we'll give you a chance to talk here. We've kind of made this a little more less formal and interactive, but other questions from the commission at this point?
This may be a silly question, but why go from urban low intensity to urban high intensity when urban medium intensity also includes R5? Just out of curiosity.
Greg's our man for that.
You got anything on that, Greg?
I don't know why they made that request.
It's the height.
Height.
Height. Okay.
Height.
Any insight on that, Bill? Any insight from Russell?
I guess my answer is
I cannot answer that question. I can follow up and get you an answer. I do not know the answer to that off the top of my head.
They have a right to ask for
either
one because it fits in either one.
Either one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I know the answer to this question, but you're adding 32 beds, and that is for future growth of the school, because I'm assuming there aren't 32 kids sleeping inside the school right now.
No, there are not at this time, although they are actively recruiting, and the number of resident students is growing.
So do they currently have resident students?
Yes, we do. We just remodeled the carriage house this past spring, and they've got, I believe, 4 or 5 living there now. With more coming on second semester. And the headmaster just returned from a trip to China, and it sounds like they've got quite a few students lined up for next fall already.
Okay.
And they've got students from Australia, Turkey. There's a number of countries.
I mean, couldn't this have been done with 2 or 3 or 4 smaller cottages? That would fit more with the neighborhood than one huge building?
The two stories of this are residents. The other two stories are classrooms, and that's a huge need. This is a STEAM building, science, technology, math, arts, science. So the first two floors are classrooms, and that's desperately needed. We're going to have maker spaces, robotics, 3 math classrooms. We're going to have arts, music, choir, orchestra are all going to be in this building.
So it'll see heavy use then.
Yes. But they've had classes going on in that house that was there, like I said, for years too.
Which is a fraction of the size of this building.
Sorry.
How many total square feet is being contemplated here?
I believe it's 28,000.
And Bill, you indicated that the parking ratio is subject to discussion, but would be relative to the number of
beds and the number of classrooms. So we're going to have, when they come through on the site development plan, we're going to have to analyze that based on a set of plans that we're given.
And today we're showing 6-7 parking spaces?
On that piece of property, I think the intent of the school is they do have additional ground on campus that we could add parking fairly easily, and I think that would be the intent. We could certainly pick up additional parking on campus. That's not a problem. Once we have a determination on how many spots are required, we can show that.
I mean, just from a practical standpoint, our concerns are partially going to the location of the building, whereas that's not really that's at issue right now. It's more whether we are approving a land use amendment and then a rezoning.
Yeah.
Even if we approve that, I mean, if we approve that, they still have to get a site plan through here, and I think where we're leaning is that we don't really like that location.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like the change in intensity either.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it's a very, you know, it's a quiet little neighborhood, and we're going to throw in urban high intensity. And boy, I don't know how we buffer that.
Substantially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm even if we double the setback from the concept we're seeing here in the grading plan, again, I tried to picture this today and I couldn't, so I went out there and I spent quite a bit of time looking at that and came up with kind of the same conclusion. Why in the world wouldn't we put it up where it's flat by the playground equipment? That seems, and I could see the houses across the street would then, so you just block my view of the river and light and everything else in the morning. You put it down in front of the building, you block the view of the building down into town, but that seems like a nice level spot to slide in this kind of building. It's almost naturally, looking at the aerial, a place to drop it.
Yeah.
There's already a green flat spot right there before the slope tapers down. Mm-hmm. But it does block the cool old building, but it doesn't.
That field is used as their athletic field, and that it gets used daily. That's another reason we decided not to build on that. You know, obviously that's was my first recommendation. You got a nice flat piece of ground out there. Let's utilize it. But that is utilized as their athletic field, and they really don't have any flat space.
Sorry, the one at Sunset Drive up at the north end, or the flat one down in the front? Down at the south end, just left of that, to the west, or do they do their recreation up by Sunset Street there, Drive?
It's the big green field up to the north off of Sunset.
Okay. So what about that patch to the left? Now draw the next circle, Greg.
Right in front of the building.
Bingo.
That's on a hillside. It's terrace, but it's a hillside. And there's two flat levels in there. But, you know, you can see you're looking up a pretty good hill there.
Yeah, it toes there, and then they've got a pretty flat spot. I mean, it's no different than the hill.
It's
we're
not nearly
on the right.
Large enough for soccer or that type of thing. Like I say, it's terraced into two. There's two hill slopes and one flat area halfway down the hill.
You could build a nice stepped building in there.
We looked at that as a location also, but we were concerned about then blocking the view of the mansion down the hill too, was a concern of the schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we split the baby again. Do we block the view of the school, or do we mess up the neighbor?
Well, not that this is what's in front of us right now, but splitting the difference, getting away from the property line quite a bit further, but not in front of the mansion, just means you have to move the drive. Now, I have no idea what's underneath there, whether you could even set a building there, but there's a suggestion too. But where it's at now, even if we approve this, there's no way I would approve myself for the building to go up. So it wouldn't do much good to approve the land use amendment.
Well, and I guess I would say with some redesign, if this commission comes back and says, hey, we want to see a 45-foot buffer zone to the east, we could probably make that happen. We would eliminate probably that drive in the parking to the west. But if we can pick up additional parking on site, you know, we can do that.
Mr. Commissioner.
I would also like to comment that that existing drive to the west, that's got a circle drive there, and the school has allowed access to the neighbor to the south to use that, and we plan on continuing to allow them access to the back of their property.
Janessa, do you have a question?
Yeah, if one of the needs of the school is for a STEM building, what is the zoning requirements for if they just were to do the school portion that they
need? Can exist in basically any residential district.
Okay, so if they needed to, they could do that as it is without changing the zoning.
They'd still need to come in and present a site development.
Yeah, okay. Just a thought.
Anyone else in the commission? Okay, anyone else in the audience with regard to this case?
Sir.
Yes, sir.
My name is Philip Dunbridge. I'm the assistant head of school for Rivermont Collegiate. I did just want to touch on the high density that you're talking about. I think there is a misconception about what kind of lifestyle these kids are going to lead. I have spent 10 years working at larger boarding schools across this country. Our students, our current residential students and the new students coming in, Sunday through Thursday, they check in at 7:30. They have a 2-hour quiet study time. They have a 1-hour quiet free time before lights out at 10:30. Fridays and Saturdays, curfew is at 11 o'clock, lights out are at 11:30. We do not have large parties. This is not a frat house. These are not college-age children that are going in. These are high school-age students that are going to live with faculty members in the building. And we want to maintain that our school is the number one private school in this state. So we keep high expectations of our students, and character and behavior is definitely included in that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Renee Chandler, and my husband and I live at the property that they're referencing to the south. We live at 1910 Mississippi Boulevard. We bought that property less than 2 years ago. We had absolutely no idea this was happening. We're not saying that we're opposed to growth and change and working with the school so that they can have growth and change. I guess we're just asking that, would you want a 4-story building right behind your house with 30 teenage boys living in it? And some of the things that you're bringing up, like, is there a different place where they could put the building? Could they make it blend into the neighborhood a little bit better? I mean, not just for us, but for the entire neighborhood. It's just going from that, you know, quiet, wooded, the deer hang out up there, to now we're going to have this 4-story building with 30 well-behaved, hopefully young men living in it. I don't know. I'm just asking, you know, does this absolutely have to go through the way that it's been proposed? And if it does, is it taking into account that neighborhood that has been that way for as long as I can remember, and I was born and raised here? So not that we're saying we're against growth and change and the school doing better.
Thank you. Thanks, Renee. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case?
Do you have an email letter from this one as well?
He does.
I do. Thank you. Bill Munder, This is from Randy Kirschbaum. Mr. Connors, thank you for taking the time to speak with me this morning and offering me an avenue to voice my concerns over the rezoning request by Rivermont Collegiate. I would have rather been there in person addressing the Planning and Zoning Commission, but unfortunately I'm currently out of the state working and cannot attend. First of all, I would like to say that my wife Gina and I are very much enjoying Bettendorf. One of the things that attracted us to our property at 620 21st Street, was the fact that we are right in the heart of the city but still have the privacy that is not normally found in a city. That piece is about to be disrupted. We are fans of Rivermont Collegiate and want them to succeed. We also like the fact that the city of Bettendorf is a progressive city and is always looking for ways to improve the quality of life. If this proposal is approved, we will go from being able to partially view the fireworks shows in Davenport and weather coming in from the west to this from our dining room window, at which point he inserted the elevation diagram. I think that it would be fair to say that we are being adversely impacted by this proposal. There certainly are better options on the existing campus for this building, that's where we've been discussing, that would not negatively affect surrounding neighborhoods and would not need a zoning change. I believe that was the end of the email that I had. As I stated earlier, I'm wishing nothing but success for Rivermont Collegiate, and if this zoning request is approved, I think it's fair that the buffer area for a four-story building as called for in the current building codes when two different zoning areas meet be mandated from the property line to the building. I'm also requesting that screening along the property line be mandated as the noise levels are certainly going up. Thank you for taking time to review my concerns. I can be reached at. Okay, so thank you for reminding me to put that in the record as well. No more comments from the audience? Further discussion? Oh, yep, sir, thank you.
Yes, sir, I came all the way down. So, good evening. Thank you for letting me have a chance to speak. My name is Jeremy Derdarian. I live in the little pie portion up there behind the school, so I'm on Sunset Circle, so I border the high edge here. Both my neighbor and I found out about this. Well, actually, I found out about it from the Moline Dispatch paper when I was over at my mom's house. I wish the school had talked to us first, number one. Number two, I moved to Bettendorf here just a few years ago, so me, my neighbor, this couple here, we're all new in the area, and we picked the area because it was quiet. That was one of the things that sold me on it. It's a family neighborhood around there. It's quiet at night, and yes, the school's been pretty good neighbors. I talked with the headmaster once about the maintenance crew, and things got better. So yeah, they're great neighbors. I want to see them grow as well. I don't really know about having a four-story building there and rezoning it. It's no longer going to be quiet at night. It's no longer going to be dark at night. And heck, I don't know where I can go in town and find a herd of deer sleeping in my backyard. Every night in the winter, they're out there sleeping. You can see where they slept at night, and we're going to lose that. So yeah, it's a feel-good thing about where I live, but that's why I moved there. That's why my neighbors moved there. So thank you. Do you have any questions for me?
So, Greg, can you dot on the map? I think I know where it is. It's in the circle right there. Okay. So just out of curiosity, one of the obvious places to put it elsewhere on the site would have been right behind you. Now, at least this way, it's down the hill, or maybe it's more straight across. It's pretty good grade through there. How would you feel now that we got a chance to ask if they had come in and proposed putting something there?
Where does my view go? I guess four-story building. Here we go again.
With the trees.
Rezoning. Rezoned it. Rezoning it.
I'm not following you.
Not going to get a 100-foot building behind me if it's not rezoned.
Yeah.
And that's what could happen.
Okay.
Four stories bad enough. And I understand it's not going to be like me, my first year in college or anything like that. But there's considerable noise levels there when they have their parties on the weekends. Not all the time. It's very limited. They'll have weddings. They'll have a teacher end of year party. It's great. It would have been nice if I got invited, then I could have enjoyed it too. But I'm certain there's going to be more of that as well. It's not going to be four times out of the year. It'll at least double, if not more.
And Philip, you were the, so is this year round? I forgot to ask you when you're up there. Is this, there's a school year residency? So for the summer months? Okay. So during the summer period, it would not be utilized for the most part?
It's possible, but at this point, no, we don't. We have our day camps during the summer.
Okay. All right. Did you have further to?
No.
Thank you for your input. Appreciate it.
Do we need to sign in or anything?
I don't think we were doing it for this case. We didn't need to do that. Yes, sir.
All right. I'm Darren, Renee's husband. I have concerns still, too. Like she said, we're not opposed to the school doing building, making their building and stuff. But, you know, we bought this house 2 years ago. We also have the little wooded lot right beside our house down there. And we spent a lot of time with the kids cleaning the lot out, you know, so we could have a backyard. We don't have a backyard right now. The top of our house is right maybe 20 feet off the line. We've always had access through there. That was something when we bought the house that we were concerned about. The old homeowner said that they've always had access, that schools always worked with them. But like I said, we spent a lot of time out there fixing up that backyard so we can have a little fire pit and our hammock and be able to go out there. And one of our biggest concerns is the four-story building. Obviously, it's going to be in the ground. It's going to be like two stories, two and a half up. But you got a bunch of kids up there, and if we're out hanging out in the backyard, we can see all these little eyes looking at us, and, you know, there's no privacy. They're talking about taking the trees down and cleaning that all out, and, you know, that's our little buffer right now. There's a bunch of trees in there and stuff, and, I mean, it's not that they're prettiest, but it's a buffer from all of that. And the driveway, you know, you guys were talking about the water runoff and stuff like that. You have the pool up at the top, the old swimming pool area, and on the drive there's a drain, which I had to fix a year or two, well, shortly after we bought the place, because the drain was plugged up and it washed all the dirt down our hill, and you know, it was a huge mess. So those are my concerns more from the construction side of it than actually living there. I know I can deal with the punk kids if that's what it ends up being with, but it's, you know, I just worry about the property and all that itself. Thanks.
Thanks, Darren.
So I'd just like to address that water runoff issue. We've had discussions with the school, and our plan is to put a buffer a berm along our south property line to prevent any additional runoff. We're also raising the grade of that asphalt drive to help prevent any runoff down to the neighbors to the south. So we've already looked at that, and we're going to try and protect them as best we can. It's certainly going to be better than what it is now.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yeah.
If the plan is to have places for folks to live, there's apartments across the street that the school could purchase. They wouldn't have to build. Additionally, four-story building there, I do question access if there was a fire as well. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
That's the comment that I wanted to make. We normally do not look at access until we get to the site plan submittal, but in this case, it's something that we need to consider. And when we're looking at a site like this with topography issues, the fire code does allow us to not exactly meet the access requirements, but we need to take into account other safety measures to improve the safety of the building. We do need to have at least a 26-foot wide access road for aerial access so we can fully put out the outriggers on the truck, put up the aerial. We would look at additional safety features within the building since we would not have access as the fire code requires.
Yeah, it's a residential and school type of facility for sure. Yeah.
Are you saying that something might change if the building were in a different location in terms of the fire department?
That road width needs to be maintained. The turnaround doesn't appear like it would be possible. And, right.
A turnaround in the current location the building is proposed in?
Right. Okay. But we can look at other things like standpipes, hose connections within the building beyond the code requirements.
Greater separation.
And this would need to be something discussed between the developers and the fire chief and I.
Okay, good input. Anyone else in the audience? Last call there. Back to the commission.
Well, to put it on the table, Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 17095, the land use amendment from the urban low intensity to urban high intensity as submitted. And I don't know if you want to do them both at the same time or take one after the other. 17096.
From a procedural standpoint, can we put them together?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. So we'll be considering both 096 and 095. Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second it so we can have a discussion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to vote against my amendment, my motion. I think this is, for several reasons, probably the biggest is it's too intense for the neighborhood. And I'm going based on this and also our precedent that we set with Bettendorf Healthcare.
Yep. Anyone else discussion on the motion?
I also will be voting against it. I agree, it's just too intense. If it was quite a bit further away from the east side of the lot line, I might be amenable to it, but at the current location, I'm not.
I agree.
It's like a pre-vote vote. I'm inclined as well. I think the intensity is too strong. It doesn't appear to be the right place on the lot to do it. Can you make it work? As somebody once told me, you can air condition the parking lot, but does that make sense to do? I don't know that it does. So that's my inclination as well. I'd have to see a dramatically different site plan concept, I think. So further discussion. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17095 and 17096, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Yes.
If you turn down the land use, there's no reason to vote on the zoning.
Okay.
So take them separately.
Okay. Good point.
Okay.
So we will amend the motion to approve case 17095 by itself, subject to staff recommendations. Any other further discussion on it?
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, I would like to say that I'm maybe more torn about this than others are, but because I think Rivermont Collegiate is an excellent school. I think it's citizen of the community. And I'd like to see something come before us that we can make work so that they can go forward with their plans and continue to expand their school. And I think it sounds like the neighbors would like that to happen too. So it would be my hope that they go back to the drawing board, maybe there's something else that can be presented that would be more palatable to all involved.
I agree with that.
That's a fair statement.
I agree as
well. Well said, Jeff.
Yeah, well said. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17095 land use amendment. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Aye.
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 17095 is declined. But I would say you spoke well, and if there's another way to take a look at it. Love to take a look at it, but as it is, it's tough. Okay. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next case involves a replat to create an access to create circulation here off of State Street through 62nd Street and then into the Beartooth Court area. Petitioner had already anticipated with this outlot extending it to Lot 11 in the Fields Development First Edition. And his intent was already expressed within the Bettendorf Industrial Park Second Edition. In the highlighted area, as you can see, that area is concerned. What you have is Fields Development First Edition is one of the plats involved. This whole lot essentially going to be turned into right-of-way, and then this portion deeded and that portion deeded to the adjoining lots. This is a photo indicating where that will be, what lot we're talking about essentially. This is Lot 11 right here, and you can see the grading already in place for any anticipated connection. This is the final plat showing again connecting what was Outlot C to the Lot 11, and then the remnants being deeded, and then this lot here absorbing the excess, and this being created as an outlot that will also act as an easement. Staff, in looking at this proposal, recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission in this case? Nope, I didn't have any either. All right, anyone in the audience? Not much of an audience left. Come on, Kevin, you got any comments out there?
I just want to know who's mad at Steve and I.
Which you guys got to change deodorants or something. I don't know what. But
you got lots of free advertising.
Yeah.
I figured it was, we haven't done the container store for Lisa.
Tell her it's coming, so okay. All right, nobody in the audience with regard to this case? We'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve case number 17-094, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-094, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17-094 is approved. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the next case before us is a site development plan. Location off of Middle Road and come up AAA Court and then come down here to Palmer's Hill Court. You have two separate lots, and it's of course adjoining the Geepman's Third Edition. This gives you an idea of looking from the southeast to the northwest, the area here involved, Bettendorf Office Products adjoining. And then you have further commercial to the east, and then this is looking from an elevation back toward the southwest at the lot involved. And then this is looking from Palmer Hills Court, looking at the frontage, Bettendorf Office Supply, and then Luther Manor, and then this area here being involved in the site development plan. Originally, both of these were lots 9 and 10 of AAA Office Park Second Edition. There was a replatting that was done of Lot 9 that made it Lot 2 of the Third Edition of the Office Park. And then also you have Geepman's Fourth Edition here, I should say, that is a part of this. Also this note being included, and I believe we discussed that in some of the conditions listed in the report. This is the retail building right here with parking further here and here, and then easements that will be provided for drainage and cross circumnavigating of the site that will allow the connection from here to here, as well as between these two lots. This is an enlargement showing tension right here and here, showing that there are these are drainage swales, and then the actual removal of the stormwater into the city's stormwater system. This is the elevation of the building, just one set. I believe we have others here that show how this will look relative to the adjoining structures. And I believe there will be four units in this. And the landscape plan met all of our requirements for the layout of landscape given the surrounding areas. Staff in reviewing this proposal recommends approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Beck, why is there? Seems like there's an awful lot of parking.
I believe that the developer has indicated that that is to aid, to some extent, anything that might occur over on the other side within the existing commercial. And he's here tonight, so he can elaborate on that if he would care to.
Sure.
And I had asked Bill that same question. It popped up to me like, wow, we're way over parked, but that was, yeah.
Hi, Steve Gafeman, 2131 Wendy Court. We are the property owners where the Hy-Vee is, and we were here a couple months ago for the Hy-Vee gas, which was approved. The opportunity for us to purchase the land adjacent came. I talked with Mr. Kellner, who's part owner of that land, and it's not that we needed the additional parking on the Hy-Vee side, it's just when we do the Hy-Vee gas, the thought was add parking here so that when we do construction, we'll have the overflow, and then once the construction of the gas station is completed, we'll still retain this, and we're going to have cross easements with both. We're not looking to add any additional retail on the Hy-Vee side that would necessitate this, but it's primarily for Hy-Vee employee parking to allow more parking for customers up towards the store.
Great idea.
As the last meeting I was at, the parking was a big issue, so that came up. And then the retail, I guess while I'm up here, it's about a 7,600 square foot building. That will be the maximum. It actually may get a little bit smaller, we wanted to have enough parking for that. And again, the cross easement would go north, south, and east, west from the development that we're proposing tonight to the Hy-Vee side as well. And we did talk with Bettendorf Office Products, with the AAA Office Park owners, and those that we spoke with are in favor of it.
Can you stay up there for a second while I have Greg pull up the first aerial? I just want to, and one of the two of you maybe can, there we go. When I look at that aerial, Greg, the red line doesn't line up with the county mapping line. The county mapping line looks like it goes right through Office Products parking lot, and there's parking in what looks like it's part of your parcel.
Are you talking about this line right here?
That line right
there.
That
is sewer.
Sanitary sewer.
Sanitary sewer.
That's sanitary sewer, not the property line.
Oh.
Okay. It looked like it was another one of the lot lines for the other. Okay, good. And having been to Hy-Vee last night, I can say thank you. When I was trying to get out, I ended up going all the way around to try and get out at 6 o'clock last night because there were 11 cars waiting to get out on Devil's Glen, and that was hopeless.
Right.
So this is going to help.
With the widening of the drives on Devil's Glen, and this, it should hopefully help.
More parking places closer to the building if employees are there. I think that's a great idea. Thank you.
And we are also, I'll add, water retention, and we're collecting some of the water that's now coming off of the existing retail that isn't captured until it hits Middle Road. So we're actually going to capture some of that, clean it, and then send it through. So.
Great. Yeah, love to see it. Further questions from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 17097. Subject to staff recommendation.
Are we in a hurry here? Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17097, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. 17097 is approved. Great job. Yeah. Okay, Bill, have you got an update for us?
Subsequent to the last meeting, the City Council did follow your lead and did approve strategic behavioral health.
You guys have had quite the year. So as we look back, seven times you've had 10 or more agenda items on your agenda. Approved several multifamily developments, as was discussed partially at the meeting tonight. Three or four residential subdivisions, single family. You approved a hospital. The redevelopment of the Twin Bridges site. Major sports complex and some adjoining commercial next to it. And you did defer a few cases and gave some good insight to the developers, and they came back with better site plans.
Yep, I agree.
So that was great work.
And hopefully we'll do that again after the one tonight. Yep.
Yep. This year we had the final approval and implementation of the Premiering Bettendorf Comprehensive Plan, the Downtown Master Plan, and the new zoning ordinance. So you guys wondered why you're so tired at the end of the year. That's probably part of the reason. And I really need to give Greg and Lisa a lot of kudos. It seems like all we do in community development is shove stuff into chutes for planning and zoning commission, zoning board of adjustment, city council, and they work their tails off and they do a great job.
These two gentlemen here
lending their expertise, what's done behind the scenes, you have no idea. And sometimes you might think that what we bring to you isn't very good or very attractive, but we rely on you as much as you rely on us.
Yeah.
So, and as I say every year, your contribution greatly exceeds your compensation.
Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know if I want to quote her, but it takes a village. It's about all of us doing it together. And I know you guys do a ton of work, and I call you from time to time, and you do a great job explaining things when I don't get it. So I appreciate that. The teamwork with your group is amazing. Thank you for all of your work this year. It's been challenging at times. We've had several split the baby cases, but that's kind of what makes it fun too. So we try and do a good job for the city of Bettendorf. And with that, I will say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, and we're adjourned.